All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing on a Monday in the big city? It is a pleasure to have you along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects. It is Nick back at the studio. It's Barry and I inside of Buku right here in the heart of the Galleria area. If you are cruising out and about, you need to stop by and say hi as we are at Buku. We are at the corner of Richmond and
Chimney Rock.
And we come here on a regular basis, and you should too. Why, you say? Well, because the food is out of this world. If you like Cajun cuisine, if you're looking for some good Bayou favorites and some other things, including great daiquiris, well, this is the place to be. You should stop on by. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz is going to be here till 7. Specials abound, but there's nothing more special than being able to see us as well as hear our sound, as we are here to bring you the best in sports and entertainment. Without further ado, fellas, what is up? What it do? How's everybody doing?
Yeah, what's up? I'm excited to try this new menu. They are launching a new menu.
Oh.
And they've got buy one, get one lunch specials from 1
so
to 3 p.m.
Two?
It's probably, okay. Because I told my wife, I was like, hey, you know, it's really time to get back on the diet and get serious. I'm almost two bills again. And she was like, okay, yeah, you're right. And then I woke up this morning and was like, ha-ha, I'm at Buku. That ain't happening today. So, yeah, it's going to go down for sure.
No doubt about it. We know that the daiquiris are out of this world and the Cajun eats are a treat. Again, corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. And that new menu is off the chain. So come in, check it out. And if you're really super hungry, you buy three platters, you get one free. Otherwise, as Barry mentioned, buy one platter, get the other one half off. So come on in, and a great place to watch Monday Night Football tonight. It's got a little Texas flavor to it. It's the Cowboys and the team formerly known as the Oilers, the Tennessee Titans. So that should be fun. Plenty of TVs and, again, eats and treats and everything. So it should be a lot of pretty people here, and you should be here too. So without further ado, fellas, how was the weekend? What did I miss? Anything good?
Well.
Video game extravaganzas?
Yeah, I did. I did my first Twitch
viewing parties. I saw some picture of you in a Century 21 jacket with a bottle of beer.
No. Nope.
Advertising.
I saw that pic too.
Twitch. Thank you, Nick.
That was Barry, right?
It did get yep. Tweeted out like that?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when I go live now, is that it gets tweeted out. I did it during the game because I was bored. I'll be honest.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I was bored with the game, so I decided to give it a shot for like 45 minutes. That wasn't the most fun, though. The most fun from the weekend is Friday night. I got pretty tore up. I got pretty...
What was the occasion?
No real reason. You ever been so messed up, though, that you spend 30 minutes trying to take out your contacts?
I don't wear contacts.
Neither do I. I just...
Oh, God.
I was so messed up. 30 minutes trying to get the contacts out of my eyes. And I was like... But after 30 minutes, I was like, you know what? I don't wear contacts. What...
Was that before or after you tried to walk the cats?
No, that didn't happen this time around. But, yeah, it was quite an eventful Friday night for me. But Saturday night was much better, and last night was boring. So that was about the most exciting thing that happened to me all week.
Nick, why do I feel like you've been there?
I've been there to the point where I had already taken out my contacts, and I thought they were still in. That's how drunk. I've been there.
Nice.
I never thought that I wore contacts, and I really didn't. I've never been there. I feel like Barry's is a little bit worse.
Well, you know, it happens.
It does.
And then people were like tweeting when I put that out there. I was like, God, I was so drunk. I've spent 30 minutes trying to take out my contacts. I don't wear contacts. People were like, yeah, I got so drunk one time I tried to untie my flip-flops. It took me a while to realize that I couldn't untie my flip-flops. So everybody was sending me their drunk stories of
cheap-ass flip-flops don't come with no shoelaces.
Yeah.
But they come with bottle openers, I learned.
They do on the bottom.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
Yeah. One of my best friends taught me that. I had no idea at the time, but that is a prerequisite if you are down in the South and you are a drinker and a water-loving, fishing, whatever you do in the water kind of dude. You got to use the flip-flops that have the bottle opener.
They do have those. That is indeed a fact.
I learned that. I was not aware of that previously.
It was interesting to see everybody tweet me, though. Like, some guy said one time he got so drunk, he sat at a stop sign waiting for it to turn green. And I was like, in my mind, I thought, well, what the hell are you doing driving?
Well, normally that's an athlete on just insert team here, because yeah. Most of the guys that get pulled over fall asleep at an intersection.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, that didn't happen. But, no, it was good. And then I had that gig Friday night out in San Antonio. Or was it Friday night? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Friday night. So that was fun. Drove out there, did a gig, drove back.
And then got drunk?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I don't drink and drive.
Well, I'm glad you don't, but I'm just saying. I would never do that. You were up late.
I was. I was indeed. And then, so this week.
Was the
week,
wife with you, or were you just drinking?
No, she was asleep.
Yeah.
No, usually I'll have one or two drinks at the club, and I'm still fine after that, because I can handle one or two. So I had one, and then, you know, got home and finished off some Crown. So
okay.
That's how it goes.
Nick, anything that we should be aware of, or any fun times over the weekend?
No, nothing too special. I did go out with a couple of the producers and watch the Alabama LSU game on Saturday. But other than that, I really didn't do too much, man.
Yeah, I told you guys this before. I hate the whole end of daylight savings time.
Really?
It just drives me nuts. I hate that when we leave work, it's already dark. I just, the whole thing, it's just dreary. I know my wife loves it, because now she can go to bed and doesn't worry about the light coming through the windows. And so she can get to sleep faster. It just, it's depressing to me.
So that's right. I forgot about that.
That was Sunday night. Saturday night, excuse me. Into Sunday.
I guess I didn't really notice it last night, but that's going to be a thing now going home, huh? It is going to start getting dark.
Yeah, that's going to suck. I hate it, man.
Well, we get off at 4, so it won't be horrible, right? Like, it usually starts, it's going to get dark about 5:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's well on its way when we depart the station, but.
Okay.
Yeah, well, not exactly fun times.
So, well, you know.
All right. Well, we're just getting started here on The Usual Suspects. Again, we are at Buku, and you should be too. It is Richmond at Chimney Rock. Stop in, get a late lunch, an early dinner, or just enjoy some of the festivities, fine food, and great people. And if you want to join the show, it's like we always tell you, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line where you can call or you can text. And you can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We obviously have a full slate of things to talk about, compliments of a busy week in college and pro football. Your Rockets are back on the floor tonight to take on the Indiana Pacers, doing what we had hoped that they would do, but we weren't sure that they would be able to carry it through. And they won two games over the weekend. They got their defensive coordinator back. At some point, we'll hit that as well. But again, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we are here for you at 713-780-3776.
I guess I need to pull up the text line as well. We'll do that. That's probably easier a lot of times than the phone calls and the Twitter as well.
Well, I would say this too, and I think you guys are in agreement, but I sent the pre-warning message to Clarence already, who was already ready to call in today. I said, be aware of the fact that we can tell our interns to just say there's something wrong with the phone. We can pull a blitz on the road and say, we will not be taking phone calls today because our phones are down and the reception is bad, just because we don't want to hear boasting Saints fan for 3 hours go off on a phone call, Clarence. Just prerequisite, we're warning you now.
I would be good with that if we didn't take calls. After last week's phone calls, they were pretty bad. So
if he ain't the MVP and the best quarterback in the history of the game, I'm going to have to tell him, I got a problem. And, oh, you, Mike, you shut up and stay in your trailer. That's what's coming.
I will say, though, I set up a poll. I don't know if you saw this, but on my Twitters.
Okay.
After last night's game and after all the games that took place this weekend, mm-hmm. I created a poll and asked, who's the best trio in the NFL? Mahomes, Hunt, and Hill. Goff, Gurley, Woods, Breeze, Kamara, and Thomas, or Big Ben, Connor, and Juju Smith-Schuster. It is a dead heat tie right now between the Chiefs and the Saints for the best trio. The Rams and Steelers aren't getting a whole lot of love. And then people jumped on me, why did you put Juju Smith-Schuster and not Antonio Brown? Mm-hmm. Statistically right now, Juju Smith-Schuster is having a better season than Antonio Brown.
That's what I was going to say, because, again, like we always talk about, what's the criteria? Because if you're looking at, like, overall building a franchise, would you start with one of these? It's one thing. But if you look at statistically and numbers, which you have a tendency
year.
To do, those things pop up and they're into play as well. Either way, you can't go wrong because both of those guys are pretty much on a different planet than most receivers on most teams. If you guys want to chime in on that, that's a good topic to get people, get the juices flowing to come back from a big weekend and get to back in the spirit of talking more football. We could definitely do that. Unfortunately, as good as your Texans were on the pro level, your college teams in and about this area weren't quite as successful. Dare I say, crapped the bed all over the place and then had to lay in the sheets because the Cougs were upset, the Aggs were beat. The Longhorns beat late in the game, and a lot of hopes and aspirations for big bowl games and other things were dashed based on the results of the weekend. So we can get to that as well. But again, we are at Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue at Chimney Rock. We'd love to see you. And if you want to see us, great. If you want to see the Blitz, they'll be here from 4 to 7. But regardless of what you do, come on in here and get some great food and beverage. Back with a whole lot more just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
One of my favorite spots to eat in Houston, Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. If you don't know, it's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And a lot of people are like, what the hell is Southern comfort food? Chicken fried steak. They've got burgers. They've got chicken fried chicken if you want to do that. So the menu's pretty diverse because you've got that Southern comfort food. You've got the Indian food. And then don't forget, you've also got the healthy eats as well. They do have green beans and grilled chicken and rice. And there's something for everybody out there at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Again, 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. Remember, they've got a full-service bar, so you can just show up. I know people that just go out there to get their drink on. They've got a great selection of wine and beer. You can sit there, get your drink on, watch the game, maybe get some food to go if you don't want to eat there. You can also have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. So they're on all three of those. And remember, they've got the 20% off the non-quesadillas if you just tell them you listen to The Usual Suspects or ESPN 97.5. Don't tell them you know me. They won't give it to you. But all the food is delicious. The Indian food is authentic family recipes passed down through Haas's family over the generations, perfected right there in the Cowboys and Indians Texan kitchen itself. And one more reminder, don't forget, every Wednesday is trivia night, man. You guys need to get out there, have some fun, get you some food, and play some trivia. For more information on that, on the menu, to see some of the food and how delicious it looks, check them out on Facebook, on Instagram, at CNI713. That's CNI713. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Guys, make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
31 yards. It's first down for the 33 off the play fake. Watson looking to throw. Middle of the field. Thomas again. Watson looking to throw. Back of the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Jordan Thomas with his third touchdown in 2 weeks. Kreider is the long snapper. To win the ball game, Brandon McManus, a high snap. Hold is good. Kick is on its way. It is no good. And the Texans will hang on and win it 19-17. It's their sixth consecutive victory after starting 0-3.
Way to go, Vance, you dumb bleep.
Mother bleep.
Yeah.
I loved that part of it.
If you guys don't know, well, that was obviously Texans highlights. And welcome back to the show. But courtesy of CBS, one of the things that was captured after the Texans win, and we're going to get to all of the breakdown, but one of my favorite parts is on the internet, you can plainly see that after the mistake of not getting more yardage before kicking the field goal and just letting the time run down and making it a 51-yarder, as it goes no good, Bill O'Brien basically exclaims, "Way to go, Vance!" you dumb bleeper.
Mother effer.
Basically, yeah. bad look, but a good win.
Yeah, and the thing is, people misconstrued that. Yeah, it was the halftime kick where he thought he outsmarted himself, basically. But the bottom line is, and you're right, we'll break it down a million different ways, and I know a lot of this stuff you guys have heard throughout shows throughout the day, but we'll have our takes on it. The biggest thing that my takeaway is, there's a couple things. One, it doesn't matter what other teams have done, both via missed kicks and coaching decisions on fourth down and backup quarterbacks throwing interceptions. It's what you need to do to take care of business. You have taken care of your business for these last six games, and that's the most important thing, but hopefully along the way you've gotten better as a football team as well, because the funny thing to me is when they say winning cures all woes, oh my goodness, you're not hearing any of the criticism of Bill O'Brien anymore, the play calling, the decision making, the, you know, can you fire him now? The offensive line isn't getting killed nearly as much because, let's face it, they can't run the football, but they've looked a lot better thanks to Deshaun Watson getting healthier and healthier. But the fact of the matter is, with that win, they've basically solidified a division title. Now it's how far can you go, and when, as a fan base, will you deem it a successful season? Because, look, I hate to be the guy that goes back there and does this to you, but when they were 0-3, everybody had them written off as dead, gone, and let's just start planning for next season, trade away some assets, get some more picks, and try and restock the cupboard. The fact of the matter is, no one saw this coming, but now that you're going places, how far do they need to go before you go, that was a good year?
Well, so I will say this, though. First, they can run the ball. The last couple of weeks, they had run the ball. Now, they didn't do it this week. They didn't have a lot of success running the ball this week. But they're in the upper third of the NFL in rushing. So they did not have, I don't think, the offensive line. I think they had a letdown overall this week compared to past weeks. They did okay.
Can I just add one thing on the counterpoint?
Sure.
We do know that Miller had run off just snapped off a couple of big runs to put that number up there, but sure. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this week he averaged 1.8 yards a carry. Blue averaged 2.6, so not great. 98 yards combined if you throw in Deshaun Watson's 38, so not a great performance on the ground. Not really a sexy offensive performance overall. But it's a team that when you watch them, and like you said about winning cures everything, no one is questioning the play calls. I still think he's got some issues. But when you win, at the end of the day, people tend to forget all of the ugliness. People tend to forget some questionable decisions and the way that his game management still – he's got some holes in his game when it comes to managing a football game. But overall – you can't knock the results, and six in a row. There's only one team that's doing that right now, and I believe it's the New Orleans Saints. They've won seven in a row.
Yeah, they've got seven. The Patriots, I believe, have five.
Yeah.
Texans have six. There might be one other team that has six. It might be the Chargers. But the bottom line is this doesn't come along very often in the NFL, and what you're witnessing is a complete resurrection of a season and a team that was written off for dead. And the fact of the matter is, I did an article for SportsMap about it last night that Fred put out this morning. And you can't worry about what others did to kind of pave the way. You can only hope that you've taken full advantage of it to do what you did when you went out and made a move to get Demaryius Thomas because you lost a key piece. To keep striving to get that offensive line some continuity and some chemistry so that they can play better, which, whether you like it or not or are happy about the position group or not, they have gotten better just by playing together. And Watson getting healthier makes them look better. But overall, the defense has come into effect. Even with the injuries in the secondary, I mean, Kareem Jackson is playing his ass off.
Boy,
the way he's tackling and not letting guys get yards after catch and carry is just fantastic.
It's funny because they kept saying, oh, this guy's a safety playing great at corner. It's like, nah, that dude's a corner that played some really good safety for a few weeks.
Yep.
But then once they had injuries, he went back to the position that he played before. Regardless of where you're putting him on the field, though, he is having a really good year.
Yep.
And he's filling that role wherever it be really nicely. So especially on run support. So he's stood out to me a lot. I mean – Demaryius Thomas obviously stood out because he's the newest Texan. He had a couple of big catches. No drops, if I recall.
Nope.
And but
but it was the good, bad, and the ugly. The good was the 61 yards and three catches quick. The bad was the fact that he struggled to figure out what play was being called. Yeah. They called the timeout, almost had to call another one, and the ugly was just at the end of the game. Yeah, the penalty because of the fact that he hadn't figured it all out, and he moved early. So,
but, I mean, Hopkins with 12 targets, I mean, you know that that's going to happen. But not a great passing day from Deshaun Watson numbers-wise. He had a great rating at 125.
Yep.
But overall, 213 yards isn't all that impressive. But two touchdowns, no picks, and you'll take that. He didn't get hurt. He didn't turn the ball over. I mean, it wasn't sexy. It wasn't a, but none of these wins have really all been all that sexy. And somebody even asked on the text line, essentially their text was, is this fool's gold? Are they just beating bad teams and getting lucky? And I think there's something to that. I don't know that they're going to go out this team as built and the way that they're playing right now. I don't see them making a run into the playoffs. I think they win the division, but I don't think that they're probably a one-and-done team.
I tend to agree with you, but here's the thing, what I would say about what we've seen so far, and that is the fact that you have to be in the game to have one little mess-up or one screw-up or one decision put you in a position to win the game. So at least they've been in all these games because they easily could have been blown out in some of these games, and then those kind of decisions and those kind of factors don't matter. So you got to take that into consideration. And that's something that people need to kind of notate in the back of their mind. So, and the other thing is, again, when I get back to this, of trying to evaluate where you put this team. This team is already, right now, is just basically what it has been in the past when it's been successful. And that is a division champ with a home playoff game, with a chance to at least get one game under their belt in the postseason, but a team that no one expects to go further than that. If they're going to do something to really make an impact and to get people to believe, hey, this is next level, this is the building of Brian Gaines' system and what he envisions with Bill O'Brien, which is a team that has higher aspirations, then they have to make sure that it doesn't matter how you got it done, you got it done. Now, the second half of your schedule gets a whole hell of a lot tougher with some really good teams and some teams that are going to be really hungry for wins to stack up so that they can stay in their divisions and they can get to the playoffs. And then if they get to the playoffs, it's all for naught if you get whacked by a Chiefs team or, you know, whoever the case may be. If you win that opening round playoff game at home, kudos to you. To really impress a lot of fans in this fan base, you got to go on the road and beat either a Steelers or a Chiefs or a Patriots or a Chargers, whoever it is.
Yeah, and so they've got the Redskins. That'll be a good test. Mm-hmm. That's coming up next. I mean, they've got a, what, Redskins?
Eagles are going to be a tough one
for
them.
Yeah. Other
Jags.
Than that, there's not a tough. I mean, the Jags. Are you scared of the Jags anymore?
I'm really not now. But then again, something happened this weekend with a quarterback that became available when the Cardinals cut Sam Bradford. You know what? He may not be anybody's end all be all, but he could be a stopgap and better than Blake Bortles. That could get their offense rolling a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see.
Jags will scare me more when they get Fournette back.
That too. So
yeah,
there's the thing.
That would scare me a little
bit
more.
At the time that game is being played late in the season, it'll be interesting to see, are they already folding up their tents and realize it's over? Or are they right on the cusp, whether it be for the division or a wild card, and really need that game and come into NRG all fired up? Because that'll be a great test for them if that's the case, and that'll be a tougher game than what it looks like right now on the schedule.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We are at Buku, 5600 Richmond Avenue at the intersection of Richmond and Chimney Rock. There's people still hanging around for lunch. You could be here having some great food, sampling some great daiquiris. And come on in, say hi. And if you're coming for a happy hour or an early dinner, Fred, AJ, and the Blitz are going to be here as well. So there's plenty of reasons to inspire you to come out and say hello, and we'd love to see you as well. And again, the phone line, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. Hit us up on Twitter as well. It's back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
I see you there.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you looking for a place where you buy one, you get one for lunch from 1 to 3 p.m.? Okay, I'll do you one better. You looking for a place where you buy three platters, you get one for free? Well, look no further than the best Cajun food here in the Houston area. It is Buku, and we are here for you. 5600 Richmond Avenue, corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. We would love to see you stop on by, see the beautiful people here working and hanging out. I know some of them are Saints fans, so they're all jacked up already, but they're going to be happy to serve you as well as we continue to roll on with one of our favorite places to stop and broadcast from. It's Barry and myself here, Nick back at the studio. The Suspects rolls on in hour number one. Fellas, we were talking a little bit about the Texans. Things that stood out to you, because I know that you are very good, adept at keeping the notes.
Honestly, the play of Kareem Jackson and then the fact that Thomas was a little bit discombobulated but still managed to make a solid contribution early on. I felt like, again, Deshaun Watson didn't have enough time in the pocket to throw. A lot of the same notes from last week as far as the offensive line and Deshaun Watson in the passing game. I think that's going to be something that just happens the rest of the year. This guy is going to constantly be on the run. But, I mean, overall, a pretty safe game. But to go on the road and get a win, is that's not easy in the NFL no matter what.
No doubt, and especially there. Tough fan base, the altitude. They play well at home normally, so they overcame a lot of things. But the one thing that stuck out to me that I was going to ask you about was if they lose that game, I really believe that fourth down going for it with the horrendous play call deep in Broncos territory where you come up absolutely empty would have been more of a deal as well. We talk about winning cures all, and it wouldn't have been an issue. That would have been a huge deal had they lost that game.
Well, that's what I mean. It's funny that winning, we give them a pass on a lot of that stuff. It's like, okay, well, they won. No harm, no foul. But, yeah, those are the kind of things that in the first three games that they lost were coming back to bite them in the butt. So, you're right. It probably does end up being a bigger deal. I also thought it was kind of a – I mean, I know he's getting double-teamed and triple-teamed, but until he got the sack, it was a pretty quiet game from J.J. Watt overall for a guy that had been doing and putting up some pretty good numbers. Pretty silent. I mean, he had a couple tackles and the sack. I know it's difficult that he's getting double-teamed. I think there was a Whitney Merciless sighting, if I'm not
mistaken.
There
was. Indeed, there was. Yep.
I was surprised to see that a little bit. But, I mean, overall, it was a very vanilla game, a very kind of boring missionary position game.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it right parallel with Vikings, Saints and Rams or Patriots, Packers, or any of the hype games for the weekend.
No.
But you take what
it was
you were
more,
given.
It was more Dolphins, Jets.
Yes. Which was awful. That was like watching paint dry. But at the end of the day, better that you come up with a W than you do an L, because it would have been a lot different. Because everything that you said about JJ, you could also say about Clowney, because he was really silent.
Had the
really,
one sack.
Really didn't make. And all of a sudden, boom, sack. He's in the backfield late when you need him. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we've done the comparisons before ad nauseum about Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald and guys like that. He's not going to be that. But if he's capable of flipping a switch and stepping up when you need him most, he's still a valuable asset to this team. And overall, I think just because of the way we're kind of picking out different guys, when you look at it, the defense is finally kind of molding into shape to what we expected them to be at the start of the year. Now, the secondary is still dinged up, but because Kareem's been able to step up, Jonathan Joseph looks like he found the fountain of youth a little bit. Reed and Tyrann Mathieu have been playing great on the back end of the defense. And it looks like they're going to keep you in every game, regardless of how vanilla the offense is or how they're kind of, you know, doing it with smoke and mirrors. That's a really good sign to know that they are coming into shape at the right time.
Yeah, and they're going to have to keep you in it. I mean, let's be real. Even, you know, with Demaryius Thomas a couple more weeks into this offense, these games are going to be won and lost up front, and that's on both sides of the ball. Fortunately, the Texans have the clout and the power to win the battle up front on the defensive side of the ball. One thing I didn't notice that I heard, not so much on the offensive side, and one thing I didn't notice about this offensive line before, but they brought it up kind of casually on the broadcast, and I thought, man, is at one point they said something about, oh, you know, Miller running behind that big offensive line. I thought, are these cats really that big? And then you start to notice it. They really are a big offensive line, not the most skilled, but I wonder if this was just a case of, well, we don't have anybody good. Let's just get the biggest bodies we can get out there. And because they do, it seems, when I paid attention, I was like, wow, these guys may be a little bigger than you're used to seeing or more than average.
It is interesting because, you know, it's not a blocking scheme system like the legendary Broncos schemes have been, where you have a little bit more athletic, lighter weight offensive line that can be a lot more active and athletic and agile. But at the same time, when you look at it, the thing that I keep kind of harping on that I like from a positive standpoint when looking at this team is just we saw so many guys in and out of the lineup, whether it be because of too many penalties and excess mistakes or injuries, that there wasn't continuity and chemistry. But you got Mans, who I think is one of your better offensive linemen, there on a consistent basis. You got Nick Martin doing some good, positive things. As bad as Julian Davenport can be, it seems like he's kind of settled down a little bit. If you get him on the right side of the line and you put him in his comfort zone, he can help you a little bit. But overall, there's something to be said about a team that at least there's continuity and chemistry because they're on the field together all the time.
Yeah.
And you see it kind of molding and gelling. Now, I also think it is what it is. It's not going to get, like, exponentially better, but you can see improvements, and you know that at least he has a little bit more time to work within the pocket.
I tell you, having success running the ball and any time that they can have success running the ball is going to make a huge difference for them in the passing game because – you know that they're not going to be able to hold up a pocket forever, but at least if the defense and the linebackers have to respect the run, it's going to buy him a little bit of time. And, you know, you can always chip in with the back or a tight end or what have you. But, yeah, it's going to be a is-what-it-is type of scenario for them the rest of the year. But they've managed – credit to this coaching staff because they've managed to take, you know, chicken bleep and make some chicken salad out of
that
it
one.
Because
–
they are playing better than I think a lot of us thought they would. Even giving up four sacks, I think Deshaun was sacked four times. You know, some of that can be on him for not
extending
getting rid
the
of the
play
ball.
Too long
But overall, I mean, you give this if this offensive line can continue to play. I mean, if you're grading them, they get a C minus, C plus. You know, last couple of weeks, I maybe even have given them a B minus in the run game because they had played so well. If you can get that out of this offensive line, this team, I think, will be okay the rest of the year.
So he's kind of like the square root of everything pro and con with the offensive line because some of those sacks can be on him for extending plays, but he can also make them look a hell of a lot better, as we know, by getting out of the pocket, scrambling around, either turning a loss into a couple-yard gain by getting on the edge and at least getting into positive territory or making a throw late. So – it's good and bad because Deshaun's your quarterback, but the most important thing is as he's gotten healthier, this line has looked better because he's more elusive. He's more of himself, and that always helps the offense. So it'll be interesting to see with now a good portion of time off with the bye week upon us how much studying Demaryius Thomas really does, how quickly he can get acclimated with everything in the system and what he needs to do and where he needs to be so that this team can continue to get better because everybody's kudos to Brian Gain and company for going out and getting him. Now you got to make sure you utilize them to the fullest so that you get the most out of what we said is going to be an interesting stretch of games once they get back on the field. The other thing I didn't know if you saw or not, but when the Rams made the trade for Fowler last week, it was kind of like all about, hey, they're making a move for another pass rusher. But when they got down to the nuts and bolts of it with the Rams said they made several calls inquiring about Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
And they were refuted quickly, which was, I guess, a good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, can you imagine if you put Clowney and Donald and all those guys?
Whoo.
Wow. You wouldn't need him every play, but when you got him with those guys, wow.
Okay, but, I mean, you've got Clowney with J.J. Watt.
Yeah. It's true.
I realize J.J. Watt's nowhere near what he was before the back problems, and he's not at Aaron Donald's level necessarily right now. Mm-hmm. But you still have that guy teamed up with I think he's top three in sacks right now.
JJ
so he's
is.
So he's getting after it. So you still got him paired up with an elite pass rusher in the NFL, and he's really not taking advantage of it.
Speaking of better than we thought he would be based on coming off a second consecutive kind of substantial injury, he's definitely got to be the front runner for comeback player of the year.
No doubt.
Because the way he's playing is fantastic.
He's in there for sure, yeah.
So we're going to continue to roll on. PJ, we see you. You going to kind of piggyback off of what we were just talking about from Jared Goff to Jadeveon Clowney. We'll get some football talk in here. And, of course, we'd like to hear from you. So if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. It is the usual suspects.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys did on your picks. I'm kind of upset. I messed around and didn't get my – well, I got lucky, but I didn't get my pick in for Derek Lewis. But I also didn't get my NFL stuff done in time on my bookie. But I had a pretty decent weekend going. And, man, if you're out there and you're doing like we do and you do the picks and you evaluate games and stuff like that, you need to get on my bookie and get some action on these games. It makes it a whole different kind of game when you're watching it. You don't necessarily care as much if your favorite team wins as long as they cover or don't cover or hit the over-under. It makes it fun, man. And it's like fantasy, but with a little more on the line. And who you're betting on, by the way, is as important as who you're betting with. That's why you need to have that fun with MyBookie. They are the online destination to get action on any game. It's safe. It's reliable. They've been around for years. When you win, they pay you. That's the most important thing. You want to get your money out. MyBookie pays you when you win. They have in-game live betting, so that means like if you don't get into the, you know, get a bet on the game before it starts, you can still get action on that game even tonight, Monday Night Football. Let's say you set up your account, you don't get your bet down in time, get some of that in-game live action going. It makes it more fun. They have rewarding player perks too, so if you're looking for some of the most rewarding perks in the business, it's right there at MyBookie. And don't forget, you can bet over/under on fantasy points for a football player. Each game, each week, that makes it a little more interesting as well. To get started, go to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Sign up, and they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use promo code radio. That's promo code radio. Get that dollar for dollar match at mybookie.ag. If you can't find it, just Google MyBookie and get started. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Buku Daiquiris and Cajun Eats on Richmond. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome to Anti-Saints Talk on The Usual Suspects. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel. We are at Buku. It is 5600 Richmond Avenue. It's the corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. We keep telling you guys, the more and more we come here, the more things we sample on the menu. Just food that is out of this world. Fantastic, friendly staff that are always here to help. Great daiquiris and drinks. And the atmosphere is out of this world as well. You can catch the games here, lots of screens. Inside-outside atmosphere. So stop by and see us. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Before the break, we were talking football and Texans. Noticed that in kind of the discussions I had mentioned, the Rams had made serious inquiries trying to get the Texans to possibly give them Jadeveon Clowney before they added Fowler from the Jags. And PJ was waiting patiently. He wants to get in here with kind of a Rams-Texans call. It says Jared Goff and Jadeveon Clowney. PJ, what's up?
PJ. Corner of the end zone, he fed that ball in there. I mean, I got to give him credit. I ain't no Rams fan, but, man, there's only a few quarterbacks can make that throw, and it was an incompletion. And on the second one, I want to get, do you think the offer for Clowney wasn't good enough, or are the Texans going to pay him? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Man, that's a good question. It's pure speculation at this point, man. I would say any offer that would be worth it or good enough, you pull the trigger on. Unless you feel like J.J. Watt isn't going to be around or you can't restructure his deal or, you know.
Or you think the price tag's too high. Because I think that one of the things that they have to measure is kind of like what Green Bay did with Clinton Dix. Ha-ha, Clinton Dix. Is if you feel like at the end of the year you're going to move on from him, he's going to move on from you, and you don't want him to just walk away without getting something for him, then you try and make a deal. But if you feel like, and again, I think Green Bay season's over for the most part. If you're the Texans and you feel like, hey, we're going to be in the postseason, and regardless of what happens, he's going to be a big part of this year, and then we'll worry about what happens next year.
Well, you don't have to worry about losing him because you can franchise him. So, I mean, you have a couple of years of franchising.
I'm saying by putting his price so far high up there that he prices himself out, and you're just like, well, then.
Well, the franchise is set, so you pay the franchise tag for the next 2 years. So they know what that number is, at least for two more years. What you have to weigh is it worth paying him that over the next 2 years at least and trying to get a deal done? Or if they just came at you and said, well, we'll give you a fourth rounder or a third and a fourth for Jadeveon Clowney, is that high enough? So who knows? I think that they know that they can at least have him for two more years, so the offer had to be pretty good in order to give that up.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would think that nothing short of at least getting a first round out of the deal. You know, you saw what Mac brought, but yeah. I think you've got to start – all discussions start with a first rounder, and if you're not going to do that, we're not talking about recycled receivers that people are trying to add to their team late in the season. You're talking about guys that can be longtime contributors in a very – position in the game on the defensive side of the football. So I think it would have had to have started with a first-round pick and gone from there. I don't know how far they would have taken it, but I think that they have hopes of trying to work something out long-term, but I think that they also are thinking along the lines of what you and I have talked about, which is those long-term hopes definitely are not centered around trying to get into the network of paying the same kind of salary as Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald.
And they were in a position to be picky. I mean, they were in a position where they could hold out for a first and a second or a first and a third or whatever they wanted if they didn't get that offer. So, they were certainly in the, on the right side of that potential trade and not having to do it out of desperation at this point. Did you see where Tyrann Mathieu went after some dude on Twitter?
Yeah.
So apparently this dude, Terry Lee, tweets out, Tyrann Mathieu really loves Kareem Jackson. Just got to pay three people. They cut Hal and Johnson. Probably restructure JJ. Reed makes it easier to move on from Tyrann Mathieu, though. At which point, for whatever reason, Tyrann Mathieu responds to this dude on Twitter and says, you don't know bleep. You don't know shoot.
Yep.
That scare you, Nick?
No, I think you were. I felt like you were going to censor it.
Yeah.
You normally give me, though.
He just said, you don't know. And I mean, out of nowhere. Like, just finds the tweet. I don't know that he follows him or what, but pretty funny. It reminds me of something I think you and I might do, because you'll see somebody on Twitter say something ignorant about you, and then you respond, and they're like, oh, I didn't.
But I love you, man. I listen to the show every day.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you know what? I can read, though.
Yeah.
I have Twitter, too. And if you get out here and start saying something foolish, I'm going to respond.
Yes,
sir. Don't act surprised when I do. So I don't know who Terry Lee is, but I'm sure when he saw that, I bet he screenshot it and sent it to all his friends and was bragging about it, even though he's sitting there talking trash about the Honey Badger on one
end of it. Terry Tate, office linebacker's second cousin. He plays off a secondary, so he's working on Tyrann Mathieu. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of Alex Bregman-esque.
Yeah,
another Houston sports athlete going after the Twitterverse.
If nothing else, he can thank Tyrann Mathieu for 15 minutes of fame, because he just got mentioned on the radio. So good for him.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of stuff to get to. I, of course, we give shout outs to the peeps here at Buku. Working here that are huge Saints fans, because we gave kudos to the Saints. But other than that, we're not taking any kind of Saints calls today. So
we don't have any Saints calls, right?
Yeah,
Nick?
I'm looking at the board right
nobody's
now.
Nobody's on hold.
No one on hold. No one wants to talk about the big win over the Rams.
No, no Clarence or nothing like that?
Oh, he wants to talk Texans. Clarence does want to talk Texans.
Oh, well, we'll take his call if he wants to talk Texans. But we're only talking Texans on this call. Clarence, what's up? You want to talk about the Texans? Go.
You can only hope to bring me down for so long. See, I said I was going to be difficult today. I was going to be difficult today, but I'm feeling under the weather. So I'm going to be cordial. I have two things. First.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to say I told y'all to, but it was a very good game.
Nick with the extra production. Now, first of all, how are you going to say you told us so? When a week ago on Twitter, somebody asked me, when will the Rams lose? And I said, next week against the Saints or versus Philly. What are you talking about? You told us so. When we did our picks, we all three picked New Orleans.
In the picks, it was right there.
How are you telling us so?
I'm just saying in general, not just y'all, but in general. And me and Nick, you know, Nick asked me a question after the first half, and he asked me, could they hold their lead? And I straight told him, if they do what they did in the first half, which was control the clock. And when the Rams came out in that second half, that's just what the Rams did. They should control the clock up into the full quarter. And I'm proud when the defense stepped up when it needed to step up. But we got to get better play out of our cornerback if we're going to make it anywhere deep within the playoffs, man. Because our cornerback, besides Marshawn Lattimore, is not good at all. The cornerback player is not good at all. And my second thing, before I say this, I want to say the opinion of Clarence, It's not the opinion of Nick Girardi, Joe Blank, or Barry Laminette. But did y'all see Michael Irvin on First Take earlier? He was a little hyped, if you know what I mean.
Over the top? A little sweaty, too?
Are you suggesting that?
Just a little bit.
Saying his happier days haven't completely passed him by?
Half the day. It looked like most of the day. I think he was still partying from the night before. I don't know, man. It looked like he was ready to get back on the field and help the Cowgirls win something.
Appreciate the call, Clarence. I did not see that, so I can't comment either way.
He was, like, showering in his own sweat. He was like, he was so worked up that Stephen A. Smith was anti-Cowboys, and he was trying to go passionately for the Cowboys, but like got so worked up that they had to throw him a towel.
Oh my goodness!
And he was beating sweat all over the set, and they were like, "Let's take a break so that Michael can towel off." And it was like, and then of course, the tweets started coming out about Mike and the booger sugar and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was interesting on social media after he made that brief appearance on First Take this morning.
Yeah, no, I missed that. So
yeah, there was some humorous stuff there. We expected, and we were just playing with Clarence, we expected that call. He had warned us it was coming.
Rightfully so.
Kudos to him and to the Saints. Big win, but as Barry said, we called it too. I mean, we saw it coming. We saw the end of the Rams streak. And we expected that win from the Saints. And now the question that I have for you guys, and maybe we'll get to this after the break, but with what you saw after what we've seen and talked about on this show and in evaluating the league to this point, are you ready to say the Saints are the best team in the NFC, or are you ready to say, hey, that was a regular season game on the road for a team that, you know, was rolling so high and mighty at undefeated that it was bound to happen, and it'll be a different story come playoffs? So hold that thought, and we'll get that after the break. If you guys want to chime in as well, 713-780-3776. We can talk about the NFC and the Saints and the Rams. We can talk about the AFC. We can talk about anything you guys want to talk about. We've got plenty more to get to right here on The Usual Suspects. Again, we are at Buku, corner of Richmond and Chimney Rock. You should be, too. We'd love to see you. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. All kinds of specials and great daiquiris as well. So we'll continue to roll. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Fitz Roofing. I know a lot of you people are looking to, before the weather turns at all or gets a little chillier, you want to do some repair work to your roof. Maybe you're still dealing with the issues that the hurricane brought about, and you want to either get a new roof put on or you want to improve the roof that you have. Well, I've got a company for you that's going to take care of all of the worry that you have about storm chasers, deposit thieves, and people that are out there to get your money and then run away before they do a good job. The people at Fitz Roofing, I've been speaking for quite a while because they are people that are based here in the Houston area. They are dedicated to Houstonians, and they're not going anywhere, and that's why you should go to them, because they're going to take care of you. First of all, they use nothing but the best because they use CertainTeed shingles. In fact, they are CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States have done enough and meet enough criteria to obtain this elite status. They have it. Basic bottom line for you is their base warranties are longer and better than your average roofer, and not only will they do an excellent job for you, but they also want to show you how dedicated they are to not going anywhere and running away with your money. So they started a nonprofit called Fitz for Families. They give 10% of their profits back to the community so that people that need roofing help but can't afford to pay for it can get the help they need and a solid roof over their head. I can't tell you how great a company it is. I wouldn't speak for them if I didn't believe in them. They got A-plus ratings on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor, and there's no other reason why you should call anybody else other than FITZ Roofing, where you can reach them at fitzroofing.com, or you can call 832-521-3001. You get a free no-obligation inspection. They can check out what your roof looks like, what you need to have done, and you can go from there. Again, give them a call. Get online, but check them out, because Fitz Roofing is making a difference one home at a time.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.